This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Mass killings like the one in Connecticut Friday reverberate especially in Colorado, which has seen a disturbing number of massacres at the movie theater, at Columbine, and back in 1993 at a Chuck E. Cheese in Aurora. That incident still haunts Russell Fultz Smith 19 years later. He worked at the restaurant and left minutes before a lone gunman killed four of his co-workers and injured a fifth. He wrote a powerful blog post about the lasting impact of that event called Shadows. It ran on several sites, including the Huffington Post. Fultz Smith joins us from Santa Monica, California, where he now lives. Russell, thanks for being with us and under some dark circumstances.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You wrote this piece one day after the Aurora Theater shooting, the same community, incidentally, where the Chuck E. Cheese shooting occurred. Do you find yourself newly traumatized by each of these high-profile events?
It's probably happened many, many times over the years. I think the Aurora theater shootings were particularly traumatizing because it was so close to the proximity of the Chuck E. Cheese stuff. This particular shooting recently is also traumatizing because I also have two children, roughly the same age as many of these children. So it's a double trauma, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that's something a lot of parents will identify with. In a way, what struck me about what you just said is, you know, I suppose you hope to protect your children from the traumas that you endured. And in a way, this just keeps happening. A new generation, in a way, is exposed to it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you keep thinking, well, get the message and whatever that message is, but it doesn't seem to be sinking in.
You were 17, just a kid selling tokens at Chuck E. Cheese when your co-workers were killed. Will you remind us what happened in December of 1993?
Yeah, that night, for whatever reason, I went in, worked a few minutes my shift, and a co-worker came in, and he wanted some extra hours and decided to switch shifts with him. So I finished my shift up. A final order came in right before I was about to leave, sometime around 9:30. Strange to get an order that late. Took off my apron, walked out. By the time I had gotten home and started brushing my teeth and getting ready for bed, the news came on and found out that there was a shooting that had occurred.
It turned out that you had actually prepared the food the shooter had ordered.
Yep, that's true.
The boy you switched shifts with, Bobby, was the lone survivor, is that right?
That's correct.
Your piece includes a list of questions, shadows that still haunt you. Two of them struck me. The first is, have I lived a life worth surviving that night? Mm-hmm. Tell me about that question.
It's been a recurring large question that comes up, I think, because of how I was raised, and but then also just the responses that I got immediately following that event. And a lot of these responses and questions were, there's a plan, there's a reason for everything, God has a plan for you, it's fate, you're meant to do something. And for me at that time, at that age, with that event, it was incredibly debilitating. In fact, I've had a lot of pain and anger towards that line of thinking because it puts a lot of pressure on the person who survives. And it also, at the time, I remember it very specifically, and I remember it to this day, I thought that diminished the lives of the people that were shot. And I did not feel good about that because some of them, frankly, I thought were pretty amazing people.
Mm. So another question in the list that struck me was, how much of my behavior is shaped by this? Nearly 20 years after the shooting that hit so close to home for you, how do you answer that? How much of your behavior today is shaped by this?
I think quite a bit. I think anybody who knows me and spends time with me knows I harp on the idea of making it matter and that every day, every second, every moment counts, to the point where I think people get exhausted by me saying it. Specifically, I wanted to have children young, so we had children many, many years ago. When a lot of people said, gosh, you guys are so young, why are you having kids? I want to experience these things before I miss the opportunity.
Why did the Aurora shooting in particular prompt you to write about your experience some years prior? You really hadn't talked publicly about this since right after the tragedy when, you know, TV stations and things were interested.
Yeah, I think because I saw in the coverage of what had happened, a lot of people grappling with what to me in some sense was even more senseless and more horrific, thinking about sitting there in a movie theater, seeing a movie that you were so excited to see, and then something totally off the charts happens. And the coverage immediately goes towards the victims, as it should, and trying to figure out the killer's motives and all these other things. And I thought about all the huge extension of people that are going to sit there in silence, like I did and I saw other people do, and suffer and feel bad about bringing it up as though you weren't yourself a victim. And I'm not necessarily trying to play a victim or anything. I just want to tell people that it's okay to not understand what's going on.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because when tragic events like this occur, it impacts a lot of people differently. And you might get into a scenario where you're comparing pain in a way like I'm not as entitled to this pain because I wasn't as close to it as this person. I want to play something on this subject from Craig Scott. He was a survivor of the Columbine shootings. He was in the library of the school that day. It was the scene of the most carnage.
Okay.
And his sister Rachel was the first to be killed.
Don't let who suffered more kind of conversations get in between people. Because you know what? I have friends that made it out of the school right away. They weren't in the library where I was, or they weren't near the shooting. But I can tell you, in their head and in their heart and their spirit, they were seriously impacted.
Now you, Russell, you avoided the killer. Your life was spared. And I wonder if you grappled with that, how much pain you were entitled to.
I still don't to this day feel entitled. It sounds terrible, but I don't feel entitled to the same amount of suffering. I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but I totally get what he was saying, and that you sit there and you go, but I'm alive, and my parents still have me, and my friends still have me, and you really do think these thoughts, so you diminish what actually happened. And I didn't see any of the gore. I didn't see the deaths. So even then, you question whether your own nightmares or shadows or whatever are valid.
How old are your kids?
7 and 9 years old.
Still pretty young, and I'm thinking just of this last year. Gosh, certainly the Aurora Theater shootings, the shootings in Wisconsin, the shooting at the mall in Oregon, now the shootings in Connecticut. How have you come to talk to your kids as someone who came awfully close to?
I had a pretty beautiful moment with my daughter. We were paddleboarding. You know, it was shortly after the July shootings in Aurora. And, you know, I knew she had seen me upset over the last couple of days. And so I just took the time to talk to her about it. And I told her in not gross detail about what happened, but I told her some of my coworkers and friends had been shot, and that made me very sad still to this day. And, you know, like children, she just quietly sat there and listened and said, I'm very sorry that happened. And it was just such a sweet recognition.
Well, Russell, thank you for speaking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Russell Folt Smith wrote a blog post called Shadows about the lasting impact of a high-profile shooting. There's a link to it at cpr.org. We'll be right back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio.